Aren't you glad that's true?
Amen.
He knows your name. Amen. Hope you pray for that young man. He's serving the Lord. Some folks stop serving God for a lot less excuse. And let's pray God continues to bless him and use him. It is our special privilege today to have the Clarks with us. They were blessing this morning, again tonight. You'll hear them again at the preacher's meeting tomorrow. It's a special blessing to have our friend, Brother Bobby Robertson. I want you to understand, he did something special for us. He left after his church this morning, flew one of those airplanes, which is less fun all the time, and just got here just in time, good for the service tonight. How many of you know they don't serve you much food on the airplane? Last time I was on, a stewardess come down the aisle. She said, peanuts. I said, yeah. And then I heard somebody else say, how much? I said, no. I remember when they were free. It makes it harder to pay for them now, you know. All right. It's good to have Brother Bobby. Gospel Light Baptist Church is a testimony across this land you wouldn't believe. If you've never had a chance, stop in there. A tremendous ministry out in the country, Walkertown, North Carolina, good little ways from Winston-Salem, and God has used it to use this man to build a work, one if not one of the greatest that I could think of in this country, and no telling how many souls have been saved, how many missionaries and others have gone out from that place, and very much like us, or us like him, he still runs buses. Has a tremendous bus ministry along with it. And still preaches the old book, the old music. In fact, Brother Mike, you said this was a singing church. He's got one, I'm telling you, singing church. God has really used it in a mighty way. Brother Bobby, we appreciate you being with us. Appreciate you sacrificing to be with us tonight. Now, I don't know if you want one of these walk-around mics on. Either one. Whatever you want to do. We might even have one you can grab with a longer cord than this one if you want to. Just grab it, shake it at the man. He'll wake up and turn you on. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mickey. It's a joy to be here. It really is. And it's good Sunday night crowd. I have a burden of the way our churches are declining in their services around us. I don't know about you, but a lot of our Baptist churches and fellows that I used to stand with me on the old book and all, and they've gone into kind of rock and roll stuff a little while on Sunday morning, and that's it. And it's good to walk into a church who still believes the book and tries to practice the book. And I want to say this, not because he said about me, but I appreciate Mickey Carter. I think of him, I always think of a man who stands true to the Lord. And I was sitting back there thinking a while ago, my wife and I don't know how many years, get my age, you don't remember, of course, 20 or 30, 40, 50 years. Years ago, we took a little vacation and came to Florida, and we slipped in here to 11 o'clock service. I'm sitting over here, and two of my members are sitting over there. Ernest and Louise Burton, they were on vacation. I was glad to know that. They didn't know their pastor was down here. But they're with the Lord now, and good to see Mike Sides back here and his family. I come in over here, and I asked him, my brother, I said, do you know Mike Sides? He didn't know him. I said, is that big, tall, ugly fella by counter with a little mustache? I said, I believe that's him. So when you shook hands, I want to make sure. And Mike and his wife and children are here. They live in Florida. I asked him, how long you been down? He said, 28 years. That's unreal. He's from our church. His dad passed away a few years ago. His mother's still faithful and got a good testimony. And Mike came all the way through our high school, all the way through our school. Our school, 43 years old this year, I believe. And I always admired this. By the way, turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23, and I'm going to read a verse or two from the first chapter in a few minutes. But it's always stood out with me, Mike was faithful in church, had a good testimony, was right there through all our young people, and he went to state, NC State, over in Raleigh, which is 100 miles from us. And he said, "Now, preacher, can you tell me a good church that believes the Bible, that has a prayer meeting?" And I liked that. And I sent him to one. I said, "Try that, and but don't try nothing." I wasn't for sure. Sometime it changed, you know, once in a while. And but I admired him. He was thousands there in that state college, and I understand he hadn't told me. They laughed at him going to midweek prayer meeting. Some of them did and all that, but he stayed true, and he stayed true to the Word of God. And his job, he's been at it many, many years, and his precious wife. Did I? I didn't marry y'all, did I? I did. I married him. Yes, I did. I couldn't remember him. How many years ago? 28 years. Amen. Isn't that something? 28 years. My, somebody's getting old, I guess. I've been marrying people's children that I married them for several years now. That's right. JC, my cousin, JC, you know, Martha went to heaven about a year ago. And JC them had their 57th, 8th anniversary before she died, and I married them, and so on. So anyway, it's getting old. Then I looked at, and I said, "I believe that's old Scotty back yonder, isn't it?" And he's getting so old, I like to not recognize him, Scotty Drake. And he was waving at me a while ago, but anyway, it's good to see him. I understand he's had some sickness, and so it's good to see all of you. Thank you for letting me come. I mean it tonight. And I'll not try to preach too long. I used to say every time, I say, "I don't plan to preach long." And my wife said to me after years, she said, "How come you say that every time?" I didn't realize. I said, "I don't know. Just feel better, I guess. Just do it, you know, anyway." And you probably heard about my precious wife going to heaven 4 months ago. Most of you know it. On July the 16th, Jackie had been sickly, but it was a shock. I want to tell you, if I could, right quick, and how you love your family. While we got married when we was teenagers. I mean teenagers. And we were married 66 and a half years. God been good to us. And she's the best woman ever lived. The best pastor's wife that ever lived. I pastored is right fun. Let me tell you this. You know, some of these young preachers, that the wives, I mean, some pastors, I'm talking about pastors, and they'd come to my wife and they say, "Miss Jackie, you've been a pastor's wife. Now, you know, my husband's pastor. Now, what should I do?" Well, I draw it up. Wasn't no put on to my wife. And she said, "Well, you're not the pastor. He is." She said, "You leave that up to him, and you take care of things at home. You got young'uns? Well, cook them something to eat and keep them clean. And if you forget about that, leave that alone." I think they expected to have some sessions with her, but she was through. And I miss her. But I got some wonderful children. I have four children, and my youngest daughter, her husband, has moved in the house with me now, and they're helping me every way they can, and all the kids call me every day. Got 10 grandchildren, 25 great-grandchildren. And but nobody takes Miss Jackie's place. Nobody. Every day I miss her. And I've tried to comfort people through the years, but I've never had anything like this. Some of you have, but never had anything like this. And in all the years that we were married, I don't care where I'd go to preach, I never remember my wife saying, "Honey, remember I love you." And many times she'd say, "You'll never know how much I love you." And she got so she'd say, "Now you behave yourself while you're gone." I said, "Okay, Mama." So my cell phone, I've had one for years. Now, I don't know about this texting. All my kids take care of that. And this gossip book and all that. I don't have nothing there. We got all that stuff up at the church. And I just got a phone. I use it as a phone. That's it. Right. But I've had for years. And I lost it. I lost it today. And I couldn't, I know my daughter was, I taught my Sunday school class and slipped off and went to the airport. And I know my daughter was a wondering. I wanted to call them and see how the service went, but I couldn't. And when I got to Greensboro, that's about 20 miles, 25 miles, that's the airport. The wind was blowing terrible. And I got out, left my car there. And I went on in, and I went in the restroom, and I was working on my hair. And I said, I wonder if I didn't lay that thing down there. I never missed it till I got down here nearly. And I was trying to figure it all out, and somebody told me a while ago that my daughter called. I called her, used your phone, and called her after I got off the plane and told her. I said, Molly, you wonder why I haven't called you? And I told her. And I said, don't worry. And she just called somebody and said to tell me that they had called the phone and they got it at the airport in Greensboro. So I've got that thing back. But inside of it, let me tell you right quick, inside one of my little granddaughters said, I'll fix it up for you, Papa. And when I open it, my wife's looking at me. And I talked to her. She's in heaven. I know she's not there, but I'll see her one day. You know, let me read about 13 or 14 verses here in the 23rd chapter of Joshua. Now, let me just say this. I said I was going to read from the first chapter. Let me say a few words about the first chapter, and then I'm going to get in here. You know, Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And you read there in that first chapter that the Lord took Moses home. But God said, now, Joshua, I'm going to be with you like I was with Moses. And he said, now, I want you to stick to the old book. Don't you move. My friend, it's not God changed, it's us changed today is our trouble. And he said, now, don't you move away from this book. You read that in the first chapter. You observe to do all that God said, and I'll make your way prosperous, and I'll bless you. Now, he's got to go out there through that wilderness before he ever gets into the land of Canaan. We know that. And there's a lot of wicked people there. But God says, I'm going to take care of you. He said, now, you stick to the old book, and I'm going to bless you. And you remember over there when Moses sent out to spy 12 men, if you remember, one from each tribe, to look over that land. Now, God already said it was theirs. But if you remember, 10 of them come back and said it's too many giants there. But two of them, and this was one of them, old Joshua, he stood true, and Caleb. And they said, well, we can do it. Well, you know there's too strong. Well, it's not us anyway, it's him. He said, listen, folks, you and I can do anything God says in the Bible. Now, you just remember that. And that man believed the book. And if you remember over there in about the 14th chapter, I think it is, they wanted to stone him and get him out of the way. And you know those people rambled around in that wilderness and all of them died over 20 years old because there was 10 men who didn't go on to do what God said. I mean, you can be a stumbling block, but you just think if they'd have went on like Joshua and Caleb did and said we can, then the whole crowd would have followed them. But they didn't do it. And so there was a stumbling block. But now these men has went on the way. I like what old Caleb said over there. He said, I was 40 years old and I wanted that mountain. I'm just 85 now. What do you want? You better take a valley. No, I'll just take the mountain. That's what God said. I like that. Now, they're coming down. Joshua's come down to the end of his life. He's looking back, overlooking what God has done for him. And I want us to see some things right here. Help us. In verse 1, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel. Notice he called for their elders and for their heads and judges and their officers. And he said to them, I'm old and I'm stricken in age. Now notice what he said. He's reminding them, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. Now this is what I'm trying to say. If you'll notice, this man's 110 years old and he died. He said, I want to remind y'all something, that you didn't come through all of that because you're good. You come through that because God brought you through that. He fought your nation. And by the way, I'll get through here in a minute. But you remember in Exodus chapter 14 when Moses was facing that Red Sea and old Pharaoh's army started after him? You remember that? And here they are, that army's behind them. And if you go out there, they're going to drown. And God says, stand still. Stand still. Stand still. I believe the hardest thing in my ministry is standing still. It's standing still. I made messes because I didn't stand still and wait on God. But you remember that? And this is one of my favorite verses. That's in the 14th chapter of Exodus. And here he is standing there, and they're coming. And he said, the Lord shall fight for you. Hold ye your peace. My Christian friend, God will fight our battles if we wait upon him. And if we won't, we can fight him and make a mess out of him. And we need to learn that. I thought about the young boy a while ago here. Son, I'm praying for you. But you know, there's a verse coming to my mind. And I have fears that don't make it right, and you do. But about a few months ago, the Lord's always got a nugget for you. And I was coming up against something. We're always in a battle at Gospel Light. We just got through one, or we're entering in one, looked like all the time. Yes. And I don't know what this one's about right now, but I caught myself thinking, well, what if this? What if, what if, what if? You know, the devil have you think of everything bad. And all at once, it just like a light, God used his word, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But he's given us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And I said, Lord, you didn't make me fear. That's a devil. And in Jesus' name, get him out of here. And I got to shout and praising the Lord, you see. Isn't God good? Now listen, he fights our battle. That's what he said in verse 3. All right, now verse 4, notice. He said, behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, he said, to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Boy, I like that. The mess our nation's in today, and the Muslims are coming in. Our poor president's a Muslim, doesn't know God. He needs the Lord, and needs to know Jesus. I thought about, Mickey, I thought about, boy, wouldn't it be great if we'd pray? And I know he don't have any, he's blinded, and he's the only one up there. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just saying that, well, here was a Democrat or Republican, he's blinded. The truth. But wouldn't it be good if the Lord had sent real deep conviction on him? Like he did on me years ago. I got afraid I was going to hell before I got saved. But I mean get conviction and that man get born again and get saved. And you pick up the paper in the morning and read in the news, and he said, folks, God is God, and we've got to turn back here in America. And boy, you talking about God doing something in our country. Wouldn't that be great? You keep that. That's a good thought. You just keep it. But notice what he said in that fifth verse. As the Lord your God hath promised you. Now look in verse 6 here. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that's written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or the left. Now get this. God has told Joshua this in his early life, that first chapter. Now he's coming down to the end. They've got over there in the land, maybe not all of it, but he is reminding them of what's happening. All right, now let's go on here. And verse 7, that you come not among these nations, that's the wicked nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. God, give us some Christians to believe in. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, what did he say do? Look at verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Now, verse 9. For the Lord hath driven out them, hath driven out from them before you, great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fights for you, as he hath a promised you, you see. Now I love this one. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave to the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And one more verse here. He said, and behold, this day, he said, I'm going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls, I love this. This is something for us to remember, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed you. Boy, I love to read about that. Now, I just put down some thoughts right here. I think I'll use my topic on how many of you can enjoy life in these days. It'll help us. I think what Joshua was trying to do, he's getting these people here to realize what God has done. Look back and see what God has done. And you know, as we're coming up on this time of Thanksgiving, you can look at a lot of negative things, but think about the good things God's done for you. The good things, let's dwell on those. It makes a difference. And I think that's what this man of God is trying to get the people to see, what God hath done. And this is what I put down first of all, is keep some good memories. Keep some good memories, you see. Don't think about them bad things all the time. Keep some good memories. What do you mean by that? Well, we could go over these again, but I don't think it's really any need there. Look at verse 3. Notice what he said. He said, you've seen all the Lord your God has done, all these nations for you, for your the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Now, what you saying, Brother Bobby? Think about some good memories of what God's done for you. Of what God has done for you. He told us over here in other scriptures how his power was there in verse 5 and 10 and 9 and 10 about how he whipped them nations. And I'm saying, my friend, you and I can get under the juniper tree if you pick up the newspaper and I read it to make sure about the obituaries that I'm not in them. I do that anyway. And then I had a lady about 25, 30 years ago. Her husband was faithful in church. Let's see, I think it was her father-in-law that died and was buried, and I didn't know it. And she said, how come somebody didn't come around? My father-in-law died. I didn't know it. I said, I'm sorry. Don't you read the paper? And he lived, just a few miles from the church. And I said, I think you pastors ought to be required to read the obituary every day. It was in the obituary. So she left our church because of that. And went on up the road 10, 12, 14 miles and hurt her husband. I didn't say anything to my preacher friend about it. There for about 10 years. He called me one day. He said, Brother Bob, these folks come from your church. Said, was they all right? I said, oh, yeah, they're good people. And he said, well, we've had no problem. And I cut my office today as a note under the door and said, we're gone, and don't you look for us, or don't you try. And he said, I can't figure it out. And I said, son, she left me because I didn't read the obituary every day. And I said, And I said, I'll read it now, you know. I'll read it now. But I don't know how I got into that. But what I'm trying to say is this. We can live if we're not careful. There's two sides to everything. But you think of the good memories. I mean, like maybe your family here tonight. Maybe some family here one time was broken up. And you had some hard things, a husband or wife or something. Don't go back. You're enjoying life now. Just thank God he forgives. And don't go back and pick up something back yonder. But think of the good things. And I believe that's what he's telling right here. Good memories. I love to think of the time I got saved. I like to think of that. I've told it hundreds of times. Well, Paul told about his and in the book of Acts over and over. Let me tell you this right quick. Many of you never heard it. My dad was a preacher. My dad's an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. He had a heart condition when he was 14 years old. He had rheumatic fever. And he didn't know what to do, I don't guess, back then. And Grandma said, the doctor told her, said, don't let him scuffle with other little boys. He may fall over dead. But my daddy, God had called him to preach. He pastored church with over 200 and preached on Sunday and worked the job over 22 years. Back then, most of the preachers, he worked 5.5 days a week and pastored that church for a year long. Anyway, on Monday morning, about 10:30, we got a call. Dad dropped dead on his job at 39 years old. Now, I was 12. My mother had a brother, 13, one and one nine. My mother never worked a public job, but she went to the hospital and got her a job as a nurse's aide and supported us three boys and was a widow 47 years. The last 33 years, I was her pastor. But anyway, I didn't even go into all that. But I got away from the Lord. I got about 15, 16. Mother had a hard time doing something with me, looked like. And I was worried. And I got out of church and was raised in church. And Mother used to come to the room. We didn't have my bedroom, your bedroom. We just slept, if you know what I mean. And Mother would come where I was sleeping, and she'd wake me up on Sunday morning. And she'd say, Bobby, please go to church with me. And I'd make excuses. I'll go next time, Mother. I didn't want to go to church. And she'd always say this. Your daddy would turn over in his grave if he knowed you wasn't in church. Boy, it'd tear me up. It really would. But let me say quickly. Went on, and I got away and away. And then I got to courting. At 17, I got to courting. And I was going to get married. And the big revival was going on. They called them big meetings back then. Where mothers, she had joined the Baptist church right close to home, an old-fashioned church. And after daddy died. Anyway, she said, why don't you come tonight? Why don't you go to me to the big meeting? Jackie was my wife, was a girlfriend at that time. Said, you can bring Jackie. Well, I thought I'll let them know what kind of pretty girl I'm going to marry. So I went with her. I didn't know what conviction was, but every time I did go, something would bother me and I'd stay away. But that night, I could take you to that little building wouldn't seat over 150 people. I don't think they even have service there now. The church moved 50 years ago. But anyway, there I sit, Jackie, my mother, and that old preacher preached hell hot that night. And God got a hold to me. And you know the devil, if you're here lost tonight, the devil will do everything he can to carry you to hell. And I didn't know, but my thoughts was, I got to crying. Just tears, I couldn't keep them back. And the thought hit me, what if your girlfriend sees you with them tears, she'll think she's marrying a crybaby. And I was trying to quit. Boy, and that old preacher kept on preaching. I mean, kept on invitation. And it just seemed like my heart was going to come out. And then the thought hit me, what if she couldn't hold out if you did go up? I was having a battle. And then I got to the place that, now you didn't have to get this place, but I thought I could almost smell the fumes of hell that night. And he kept singing. And I didn't turn to look at my girlfriend. But I said this to them thoughts, girlfriend or no girlfriend, I don't want to go to hell. Amen. Folks, that was October the 24th, 1948. About 9 o'clock one night, when I left that seat, God done something for me. He changed me. Back in then, Mickey, in those days, they didn't take the Bible and show you a bunch of get around you and pray. And I'd been to church before, and somebody'd get up shouting. I thought, it'll hit me. But it didn't hit me. And then the old preacher said, you feel like you said, and I did. I felt it. Don't ask a man if he feels like he's saved. Ask him to believe he's saved. But he said, you feel like it. I said, yeah. And I took my girlfriend home that night. I told him if it had been March wind blowing in North Carolina, I believe it blowed away. That burden was lifted. And so peace came in my soul. And that's been 67 years ago. And it's still there. And I like to tell it. And I look around and I see a lot of people. And I feel like Moody was one time when he was walking. The poor old drunk was trying to get up out of the ditch and fell back in his own vomit. Said Dwight L. Moody stood there and looked at him and cried and said, that's D.L. Moody, but the grace of God. And when I see all this crowd running here and yonder, honky-tonks and hell holes of the world, and some of them that I went to school with is dead and in hell, it could have been Bobby Robinson. And I don't want to forget what God's done for me. Listen, you keep that precious memory in your mind. I remember the first time I heard Bob Jones Sr. preach. I'd been saved very long as a church in Winston-Salem was on fire for the Lord at that time. And that preacher had Bob Jones Sr., Lee Robertson, and John Rice all together. And I went over as a little old, just young convert. And I thought to myself, I thought this, Mickey. Now, I didn't know a whole lot. Of course, don't know much now. But I thought, well, now that's a college man. I've heard of Bob Jones University, and he'll probably be one of them starchy fellas. I don't know where you ever heard Dr. Bob Sr. or not. He got up, listen. That man got up to preach. And he said, let's pray. I'll be honest, I opened one eye to see if I could see Jesus. I never heard anything like it. I could almost tell you how that giant began to pray. He said, Lord, I thank you for giving your son to die for a little old South Alabama boy like me. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that brought conviction and showed me I need to be saved. And I thank you for giving me faith to trust you as my Savior. He just kept on. He said, Lord, you're so great. You put so many stars out there. I never have been able to count them all. And he kept praying. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He just talking to the Lord. And honest to God, before he got through, he said, by faith, Jesus, I love you. And by faith, I just want to, by faith, get up here in your lap and put my arms around your neck and tell you I love you. Thank you. And then he, amen, started preaching. Well, Dr. Bob Sr., I don't know much about that place now, but man, I used to hear him preach other places. He preached for me one Sunday, and he'd hold his old hard shell Baptist used to preach like that, you know. And Dr. Bob, he'd hold his mouth, and he said, you bunch of liberals, you're going to hell if you don't get born again. You're going to hell if you don't get saved. But every time I'd hear, God, we need some of that now. But I don't know, I got into that. But I'm just saying, don't you ever, if you don't, listen, you may be as poor as Job's turkey. And I don't know how poor it was. Dr. Rice says so poor it had to stand up against the fence. I don't know. But anyway, you may be poor and you may not have anything. But if you got salvation, go back to them good memories. Think about it. God don't owe you nothing. He don't owe me nothing. No, every time I walk in the pulpit at Gospel Light, nobody knows how good God's been to me. I'm pastoring 3 miles from where I was born. I was over there, an old plowboy. I didn't know tobacco was bad till John Rice come down there and started preaching against it. And I used to work in it all the time. And sometime I walk around Gospel Light and see what he's done, and I have a hallelujah spell when right over 3 miles I used to plow that old mule down there in the field.
God saved me. And then God began to deal with me. And I was scared to preach. I was scared to stand up before people. I was so backward. And God got me. He's so good. He got me to the place I was scared not to preach. And I was scared to preach. And one night, one evening later, I went down some old pines and laid down on my face and said, God, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I can't stand this any longer. Some of them young fellas looking for a church, I wasn't looking for one. I just felt good. God wasn't going to kill me now. I was going willing to preach. That's what I mean. And everybody's not that way. Now, I wasn't going to get into all that. But I'm just saying, this man right here is reminding those Israelites, you remember what God has done for you. Yes, my friend, and you just think back what he's done. How many prayers he's answered for you. How many problems he's solved for you. I could spend all of an hour or so just telling you some of the prayers that God has answered for this old boy up here. He's healed me. He don't heal every time, but most time he does. Dr. Rice preached for us in our old building down there. And I remember we had about 500 people that night. And Dr. Rice said, God heals most of the time. He said, how many of you people ever been sick in your life? Well, I guess they about all raised their hand, looked like. He said, how many of you died? So God does. You see what I'm trying to say? I'm just saying this one thing. Here, to me, this man of God is trying to remember those people, what all God has done for you. The good memories. And then that verse 6, 7, and 8, he said, now you be courageous and don't leave this book and so on and so forth. I'm going to read them again. But let's set out to have a good ministry. Now you say, Brother Bobby, God hadn't called me to preach. You got a ministry. If you work in the nursery, ladies, that's a ministry. You know, there's no big ministries, little ministries with God. Wherever God wants you. And if you read those verses right there, especially 6, 7, 8, he's telling them now, don't leave this book. Don't leave this book. Have a good ministry, you see. You remember when old Paul over there, I believe it was in Acts 20, when he called the Ephesian elders together and he's going up to Jerusalem. And you remember how he said, I've warned you night and day. It was tears and so on and so forth. But he said, I don't know what's waiting, except I know the Holy Ghost says that bonds and afflictions waiting. But none of these things move me, because I want to finish the ministry God has given him, the course, you see. And so I'm just saying, let's keep some good memories, and then let's set out to keep a good ministry, my friend, wherever God's placed you. If you're on a bus route, praise God for it. Buses is not for some lower crowd. Buses is for working people. They say today, well, you just don't do it like you want to. You know what the problem? We just don't work it like we want to. I think of Bobby, you know, Bobby Willard. Bobby Willard, our bus ministry, I think will be 48 years old that next July. And we got just one alone. And we got four buses, and it was sitting out there on the lot, and I just throw it out once in a while and all. And one Sunday morning down the aisle with some more people for something. Anyway, Bobby Willard came. And this is Bobby, the way he said. And I said, hey, Bobby, what you come down here for? I want them buses you've been preaching about. That's what he said. I said, okay, where are you going? Over at Southside of Winston, get them young'uns you talk about. He's been in it. He's got five stints. He runs one of the biggest routes. He said, that's my ministry. I can't quit. Amen. He's got three or four young people that he's trained, and he's not able to knock on the doors, but he goes out there in his car. And it's amazing to me. And he said, I take them out to eat. They like to go eat. And I take them to the K&W and eat, and then they knock on, and he rides down and says, and go get that, and go get that, and go get that. And I don't know how many he had today, but he usually very seldom ever runs under 50 on his bus route. But what is it? He says, it's my ministry. It's my ministry. And people say sometimes, well, how do you get people to stay on the bus, man?
get them to know if God's called you there. It's hard to leave something. And he's saying right here, you have a good ministry. Listen, what's right 50 years ago is right now. What's wrong 50 years ago is still wrong today. And I'm saying, just miss my, you young people, start out, don't get your eyes on this and that. Just keep on this book and have a good ministry. Ministry of soul winning, trying to reach people to Christ, you see. Helping backsliders get right. Boy, we need that, you see. We just need a good ministry. Now, this is what I'm saying. If you'll notice here, he reminded them, and then if you'll read those verses we read, verse 6, 7, 8, he's telling them to stick to the Bible, a good ministry. I want to tell you a story right quick. It come to my mind. I used to preach over in out from Martinsville, Virginia. That's 60 or 70 miles from us. A whole lot of meetings. Old Brother Calloway was his name. And he had two churches. He had Sunday school at 2 o'clock and preaching at 3. And then the other one he'd have in the mornings and then at night. And he worked 5 days a week in a big blanket part of up there, making his own living. And pastored those two churches for years. Old Brother Calloway met me and he said, would you come preach meetings? And I'd go way up yonder about 15 miles apart, way over in the country, and preach a meeting there in the spring, and one over there I was preaching week meetings in, and that over there in the fall. But now, wait a minute. Goodwill Baptist was the name of the, and that thing was in the boondocks. And here's a church, and no, the little dirt road out there. And over here in the side was a parking, and you could come in a side door and in the front door there. And everybody parked here, and then they'd come in. And there's a lady, every time I'd go, her and her husband, elderly couple, and she'd bring a pitcher of water in. And she'd come around for service and set it up here. And I just wasn't used to drinking water. I preached a lot of meetings, week meetings. I wouldn't drink, and after service, I'd see her slip up there very nice and get that water and go out. And I'd see her pour it out there, and they'd get in a little truck and go off. That happened for 8 or 10 years. And I don't know, I just said something, Brother Calloway one day. I said, Brother Calloway, that's so sweet that lady brings that water. I said, but you know, I just not used to drinking water when I'm preaching. And I said, if you want to tell her she can leave it at home, I mean, you know, not do it. He said, Brother Bobby, I hate to say anything to her. He said, years ago she came to me. And I'd that scripture there where if you get up a cold water, and one of God's children reward you. And said, so that little lady says, you know, I can't read and I can't write, but I can bring water to the preachers. Could I do that? And I told her, yeah. He said, she's been doing it for years. And I said, I want you to promise me, preacher, you'll never let her know that I said one word. And every time after that, I'd remind myself not to stop and drink water about twice. And we was on the radio on Sunday night live, and it reached up in that part of Virginia. And I was telling the church about it, our church. And the next week, I got a clipping out of the Martinsville, Virginia paper. And one of my preacher friends, his services was earlier than ours. And he said, Brother Bobby, I was on my way home last Sunday night from church, and I heard you mention that. And he said, he didn't pastor there, but he's up the country front. He knew about it. And he said, you know, that couple just celebrated their 66th wedding anniversary. And somebody put it in the paper there and said, by the way, she's still carrying water to the preachers. And when I go back, I mean, elderly couple, I don't know how old, around 90, and she carried water to the beach. Now, that was her ministry. Now, folks, you and I are going to be surprised when we stand at judgment and say, oh, Charlie Stevens at Piedmont Bible College, been with the Lord for years. He said, I believe that sometimes at the judgment seat, some of us are going to think of this one, but the Lord's going to say, stand back here. The first shall be last. See, she done what she could. Right. Now, wherever God's placed you, you stay faithful in that. Right. You stay faithful in that. And that's what this man's telling right here. And I was there some few years after that, and a lady came up to me, and she said, "Did you know I'm that woman's daughter?" I said, "No." And she said, "Mama has Alzheimer's. She don't know a thing. And they live 2 miles down that dirt road there. Daddy's not able to get out. I wish you'd go down there and see him." I said, "I'll follow you home tonight." And I went in, that sweet little thing. She said, way up in the 90s, she didn't know I was there. And she's laying there, just a little humble country home. And she and the old gentleman, he was over here in a twin bed. And he was glad to see me. And a little while after that, she slipped on off to glory. But that was her ministry. I think about our ladies in the nursery. Some of them been there for years. That's a ministry. And here he's saying right here, you stick to the ministry. And then let me hurry on. Look at verse 11 here. He said, notice what he said in verse 11 now. Notice what he said. Take good heed. You see that? Therefore unto yourselves that you do what? In all you're doing, make heed that you love the Lord your God. Keep our motives right. Keep our motives right. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves, we got so much flesh, we'll find ourselves trying to improve or trying to impress somebody. And that's flesh. And what he's saying right here in all of this, Joshua's saying all these things here, he said, make sure that you love the Lord. Whatever we do, do it all for His glory. You remember that, I believe it's in Luke 10, when that lawyer come to Jesus and said, what can do to have eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments? He said, yeah. And he started, he quoted the commandments, and Jesus said, this do, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, who's my neighbor? And you remember what Jesus said? Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, well, I tell you that one time, he said there was a man going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And they stripped him and left him over wounded and half dead. And he said, there's a priest, that's religion. He come by and he looked at him. And there's a Levite, that's the law. And he come by and he looked at him. But I love this. And a Samaritan came. And you read it, and he didn't look. He went where he was and had compassion. Now, what's he saying right here that you love the Lord? He had compassion on that man. And he poured oil, most of you know the story of wounds, and he got him up on his own beast and took him down to the what we'd call the hospital today, the inn. And he said, now, would you take care of him and I'll pay you when I come back. He said, now you keep your motives right. Folks, oh, how we need some Christians to love, just love. That's what I'm talking about. The people's out of fellowship, away from church. We're not to sit around and judge them. We're to love them. Galatians chapter 6 said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, try to run him down. It don't say that. No. But ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What are you saying, Brother Bobby? I'm saying right here in the middle of what this man is telling us, Joshua, he stopped to say, take good heed now that you do it because you love the Lord. Folks, that's why the Apostle Paul could go in prison and sing and praise God at midnight and be beaten and all of that, because you read, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth us. It controlled. For thus we judge, if one died, then well. He said, I can't get over how much God loves me. And what we need to do now, get to keep some good memories and keep a good ministry going, and be sure we do it with the right motive. I want to hurry. I'm going to be through here in a few minutes. But listen, you remember over the Corinthians, they were kind of hung up on gifts, you know, and it's carnal. And you remember there, I believe first Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul talks about the gifts in his last verse. He said, why don't you covet the best gift? Which is more excellent is love. And he goes right into that
13th chapter. And he said, it don't matter what, if I have faith to remove mountains and have not love, it don't profit anything. If I could speak like angels with no love, it don't profit anything. Folks, people need to see the love of God in my heart and in your heart. Now, this preacher could tell you, and I don't mean to judge, and I can too. I can feel, it looks like a handful of them, but when somebody is down and out and on the bottom and going on, and I'm trying, there's a few people, I wouldn't ask everybody in the church, but there's a few people that I always go to. I'm thinking of two ladies right now. They'd go anywhere to pick up any kind of, they just go out there and love them. That's what we need. We need to keep our motives right to love the Lord and do it because we love Him, you see. And then I won't say a lot about this. There are two more thoughts right here. He says, now don't you get over there and marry that bunch of heathens and so on. Let's try to have a good marriage, a good marriage. And boy, there's a sermon altogether itself. How about that time of having a Bible in your home and praying together? I'm so glad I got saved before I got married. My wife and I, for 66, if I was gone preaching, my youngest could tell you, my four children could tell you, Mama always get them around and said, now let's pray for Daddy tonight before we go to bed. He's off preaching. And she'd pray with the children. And they can tell you now it never left them. And to God be the glory. I'm glad I got saved because me and her start praying together too. And just the night before she died, we prayed every night together when I was at home. We'd share burden. And she has such a burden for our great-grandchildren. She'd sit there, felt so bad, and she'd say this to me a lot of times, Mickey. She'd say, Daddy, the way things is changing, I'm afraid a lot of the way things are changing in our churches, I'm afraid that our great-grandchildren will never know what old-time religion is. Yeah. She had a burden about it. She had a burden. And I told it. The church, because I've got some of those relatives that's out trying to boogie boogie stuff. And I said to them, they had a lot of confidence in my relatives of hers, in my wife. And I told them what she said. And she believed in the book and standing true. That's what I'm trying to say. And we need that, my friend. Good marriages. Work on your marriage all the time. Love each other. Pray together. Let your kids know what it is. I don't mean you have to have a service in your home, but let them know what the Bible is. I mean, get rid of the, if you have to, the gossip book or Facebook or whatever you say. Don't let them spend all their time on that stuff and television. Most things on television is corrupt today. And get all that stuff in their mind. Get the Word of God in their mind. And that'll build something, and it'll never leave them. My daddy's been in heaven 72 years this past August. And I can remember, I refer to it quite often, us three boys would be out in the yard playing or something, and Daddy would say, come on in here, boys, just a minute. And my mother's always cooking. She'd come out of the kitchen. And we'd meet in the living room. And my daddy would get that old big Bible down. He said, boys, sit down over there now. Want to talk to you. He'd maybe talk to us 8 or 10 minutes. And he'd say, now, I just want to remind you, God's good to all of us. And I want to read some of the Bible to you. And then fall on his knees and pray. Let me tell you, bud, you that don't leave you. And we'd have some homes different today if we had that today. And here he's reminding them about their marriages. And then here's something in my life. He said, now I'm going away of the earth. And what does he do? He's leaving some good memorials. Some good memorials. Now, I'd love to go the way of the rapture. And you would too. But we may not. But people, when we're gone, when me and you are gone, let's leave a good memorial behind. They may not agree with you, but down in their heart, let them know, my pawpaw and my granny or my mother or my daddy,
They never changed. There's always going to church. There's always reading the Bible. They said you can't go to this place and that place. It's not good. Instill that in them. And then when you have to go to leave them, it'll be a good memorial you can leave behind. That they've gone, that you or I have gone to heaven, but they won't forget it. I just got through with it. My daddy's gone for 72 years. And I've got his picture in my office, three or four of them. Every once in a while, I look at it and get talking and say, "Dad, I wish you was here. I'd like to ask your advice about this or that," you see. But there's one thing, not because he's my daddy, but there's one thing about it. There's one thing about it. He had a good testimony and a good name. And it's rather be chosen than great riches, my friend. Just, I thought this might help us tonight. Just think about this. There's some things to enjoy. Let's do. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd take the word of God and a few thoughts tonight that would glorify you. And you'd speak to our hearts right now. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as your Savior, I pray.